you know, this idea of what I've sort of coined chief everything officer, right? Like I kind of joke with my family, I was chief marketing officer at work, and at home I'm the chief everything officer, right? It's not just sort of like doing all the tasks that need to be done, but it goes beyond that. And it's holding this sort of like mental responsibility for everyone. It's remembering the doctor's appointments and the tracking of the school deadlines and the meal planning and the camp research and the vacation planning and my marriage and I need to work out. And like, it's all of these things on top of the 40-hour plus work week, right? And it's your brain is constantly going and it's constantly thinking about the other people that, again, you've brought into the world. You are responsible for them. And so you just like you give it your all at work, you got to give it your all at home.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
BEP is on fire. Our audience is growing fast and the impact is real. Now is the time for your brand to grow with us and reach a highly engaged, influential community with real spending power. Don't miss this moment. Email us today at media@tonytidbit.com. Let's make it happen and put you and your brand in front of the people that matter. We are coming to you live from the new BEP studio for another thought-provoking episode of A Black Executive Perspective podcast, a safe space where we discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris B. Reed. Before we get started in this episode, we want to remind you to check out our partners at Code M Magazine. Code M Magazine, whose mission is saving the Black family by first saving the Black man. Check them out at Code M Magazine, 2Ms.com.
Definitely check them out. And check out this. Listen, while corporate America talks endlessly about work-life balance, one reality remains largely unspoken: the crushing mental load carried by working mothers. Today, we are joined by Raquel Codrissi to unpack the systemic expectation that women must excel professionally while simultaneously serving as the chief everything officer at home and managing invisible labor that never clocks out. This result isn't personal failure, it's predictable burnout. We'll unpack the science of burnout, the systems that created it, and why technology may finally offer relief. This isn't about doing more, it's about carrying less. Raquel, my sister, welcome to A Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Hello. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Chris, for having me. I am so excited to be here to talk about this topic that I'm just really, really passionate about. So thank you so much.
That's what's up. Well, before we get too deep, why don't you give us a little bit about where you currently reside, a little bit of family information and things of that nature. We'll keep you
aware. So Tony and I were just talking. I was born and raised in Michigan, but I now live in Westchester, New York with my husband and my two kids who are 8 and 3. Okay. So, you know, this sort of journey that I'm on right now with AI moms, this is really close to home for me. You know, talking about kids and family and working mothers with careers. So
before we get too deep, tell us a little bit about your career background.
Sure. So I've spent 20 years in the marketing space, and you know, most recently I worked as a CMO across so many different industries: luxury, lifestyle, media, ad tech brands. Most recently at a bridal company. So I've sort of, you know, been and worked in all sorts of different industries, which I think has been a really great, unique experience for me to just see so many different aspects.
And, you know, it was interesting. I remember we partnered together. Our companies partnered together, I don't know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, when you worked at the magazine. What was the name of the digital?
Modern Luxury.
Modern Luxury. Yeah, yes. Thank you. And you were the CMO there, if I remember correctly. Yes. And we had a shared space, I forget, in some building in the city. That's how I first met you. Okay.
Yes.
And so always, you know, we've been friends ever since. And so we're really excited about what you're doing now, because as I you know, spoke about in the intro. You know, working mothers are dealing with a lot. Okay. And then, you know, look, I'm married. Our kids are, you know, they'll be 19 and 18. And even as I did research on this, and you and I've chatted a little bit about this too over the last 6-7 months, I even had to take a step back and like, wow. Right. Because I had to look at my own family and stuff to that nature. Right. In terms of how my wife had to navigate. So the question I have for you is, look, you got a lot going on. As we read in the description, you achieve everything in your house. Everything. You created a business and the whole nine yards. So why did you want to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast talk about this topic?
Yeah, I think, you know, I am the AI mom's target. You know, I was working in a career and giving my all to my work, giving my all to my family. And I think like so many other working mothers out there, we all reach a tipping point, right? And at some point, something's got to give. And so my sort of career journey took me from the corporate world into consulting, where I was really thick in the exploration of AI and really uncovered all the ways that AI has transformed my personal family life. And I sort of had this aha moment, right? I think right now we're at the first time in history where AI can really be used to help so many working mothers out there offload what we're calling this invisible sort of load, right? So I feel this obligation to learn it and explore it for my own family and to bring efficiency so that I can show up and be a better mom at home, right? Freeing up some time, my headspace, decreasing my own stress. And because of this, I now feel the strong obligation to bring this to the world to help so many other working mothers out there that I know are struggling in all the same ways that I was immensely struggling with before.
Wow. That is awesome. I mean, I really loved what you said and the thought. So it seems like you're chomping at the bit. All right. You ready to talk about it, my sister?
I am. Let's go.
It's time to rethink your protein. Agrilabs protein bars are crafted with high-quality protein, double the leucine, and enriched branched-chain amino acids, essential for optimal muscle recovery. Finally, a protein bar that works as hard as you do. So visit agrilabs.com and use the code BEP to get 20% off. That's agrilabs.com, promo code BEP.
All right, so let's talk about it. You know, one of the things you just got finished talking about and the default, you know, parent problem, okay, why moms can't win. And you spoke a little bit about it. But, you know, one of the things in terms of doing my research, you know, this is not a one-size-fits-all. This is something that millions of women are dealing with around not just the country, around the globe, right? So I want to play a quick little clip, and then I want to get your thoughts on it in terms of, you know, the challenges working moms deal with, okay?
As I was finishing my research on motherhood, I came across The Feminine Mystique, written by Betty Friedan in 1963. The title of the first chapter is The Problem That Has No Name. As I read through the pages, I felt my heart bursting. I thought to myself, every mom needs to know what's in these pages. It helps give meaning to where moms were back then and where we still are today. In my practice as a child and family therapist, I have heard a familiar story over and over. Mothers who feel exhausted, overwhelmed, and lonely in their lives. 50 years later, the problem that has no name is still with us. It shows itself differently, but it's still the same problem. Today, we have the rabbit hole of social media that shows what all the other mommies are doing better than us. Mm-hmm. If we're a working mom, we feel guilty. And if we're a stay-at-home mom, we feel judged. We second guess and stress over all the parenting decisions that we make, and all too often, we feel like failures and frauds. Somewhere in our frantic and overscheduled lives, we might have a husband with all of his needs and demands as well. Most of us somehow manage to maintain a career. And earning our own money and having our own careers has been good, but the problem that has no name remains. If you're relating to any of this, you are not alone.
So let me hear your thoughts on that, my sister.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I couldn't have said it better myself. And it's really part of the reason why I am moving forward with AI Moms with just so much passion, right? I think the reality of the situation today is, you know, I think that working mothers have so much that's falling on their plates. And I think that you often find or feel that you are failing. And from my perspective, I think that the system that we're living in today, truthfully, is just simply broken, right? There are so many statistics out there that reveal that this idea of the invisible workload is really crushing, and in particular, working mothers, right? Working mothers are making, you know, more than 300 household decisions per week. 83% of working mothers report chronic stress from invisible work. And I was one of those mothers. And it was chronic stress so much that it led to back issues and just other physical challenges in my life. You know, working women perform, I think the number is like 14 more hours of unpaid domestic work per week than their partners. And this is even in dual income households. 50% of professional moms out there report that they experience this like complete burnout, which again is something that I experienced probably 2-3 times throughout my 20-year career, right? And I think that's why you have seen, again, you know, in particular the last year, so many moms have decided to just tap out, to step away. They give it their all at work. They give it their all at home. And this invisible workload, right? It all, like, the math doesn't add up, right? There's not enough time. It's so stressful. And at the end of the day, something has to give. You know, this idea of what I've sort of coined chief everything officer, right? Like I kind of joke with my family, I was chief marketing officer at work, and at home I'm the chief everything officer, right? It's not just sort of like doing all the tasks that need to be done, but it goes beyond that. And it's holding this sort of like mental responsibility for everyone. It's remembering the doctor's appointments and the tracking of the school deadlines and the meal planning and the camp research and the vacation planning and my marriage and I need to work out. And like, it's all of these things on top of the 40-hour plus work week, right? And it's your brain is constantly going and it's constantly thinking about the other people that, again, you've brought into the world. You are responsible for them. And so you just like you give it your all at work, you got to give it your all at home. But again, there's a certain time, right, where like something's just got to give. And so, you know, it's not just managing your own to-do list. The stakes, and this is where it gets interesting from a sort of a neuroscience perspective, but the stakes are neurologically higher, right? When you're responsible for someone else's well-being, and again, in particular, your child's dentist appointment and the doctor's appointments, right? To make sure that your kids are healthy, right? Your brain is sort of under this like constant, like this threat, right? And it's constantly activated, and your parts of your brain, right? They have to like continue to go. And it's just, it's really, really stressful. It's really, really stressful.
Let me ask you a question, because I've had this conversation with a couple of my executive female clients, but also we've had conversations, Tony and I, on this platform about the concept that you stated the system is broken. And so what I'll challenge you in that regard is, If my microwave can't print my term paper, the microwave's not broken. It was never designed to print a term paper. What do you say if the system was never designed for you to be as successful in this arena and that arena simultaneously? Do you believe that because sometimes that adds a sense of failure or a sense of I need to figure this out when I'll never figure out how to have a microwave print a term paper. So yeah. In the idea of how do you just come to terms with the system is not designed for me to be successful here and I have to pick my poison or you refuse to pick a poison.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about, again, from my perspective, where this all kind of began, where it's all culminating from, right? Like, let's take a moment to just talk about a little bit about the history, right? In the 1960s, the 1970s, we entered this feminist movement, right, that opened incredible, incredible doors. Don't get me wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Women entered the workforce in these, like, unprecedented numbers, and we, the women of that time, right, we were told that we could have it all, this career, a family, the devotion, the ambition, like you can do it. You can do it all. You're super mom, super woman, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that what nobody said with that was that having it all actually meant doing it all too, right? Correct. Women entered this workforce. The invisible work, right, of running the household and taking care of the family, that didn't disappear, okay? It didn't disappear. It didn't get redistributed. It also didn't get valued, right? I think that there's so much that goes into it, and I think that there's not a lot of value that is placed on it. It essentially just got added to, you know, what was already a really heavy, somewhat impossible list, right? And sort of load. And the result of that is, you know, now an entire generation, myself included, right, of working mothers carrying like two full-time jobs, the one that they go to work and they're paid for that, and then the one that's at home that there's no breaks, there's no sleep, there's not like, there's a little bit of sleep, but like I wake up at 3 a.m. because I'm like, oh, I forgot to sign the permission slip. Or so it is this constant, right? And
let me just jump in on that for a second. Okay. Because so number one, so you're right. However, I want to back up a little bit further than the feminist movement. Okay. And when we talk about the history, and you said neuroscience, right? Now, let me just tell a story for my point, okay? I remember me and my wife, we were getting ready to go on vacation as a family, right? And, you know, I packed my stuff, okay? And, you know, I'm sitting like, what's taking you so long? We got to get ready to go. We got to get to the airport. And then she said something that blew me away. She said, look, all you got to do is care about yourself, right? I got to pack for me and the girls. And I sat there, was like, I didn't even think of that. Okay? I didn't even think of it. And so talk a little bit, because you got into the lack of value of what women do. And the lack of value comes from the spouse, okay? And then when we talk about neuroscience, there is a thing. That's why I want you to dive into that, okay? Because, yeah, the feminist thing, going to work and all that, I'm not disagreeing with that. But at the end of the day, the brain, the thing mama bear, that ain't nothing made up, all right? That's real. And then how men also don't have that mama bear. I got to take care of everything. I got to do this. I got to do that. They just think, I just got to go to work. So talk a little bit about, because that also adds the angst to the situation.
If you like what you hear and want to join us on this journey of making uncomfortable conversations comfortable, please subscribe to a Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe now to stay connected for more episodes that challenge, inspire, and lead the change.
Yes, absolutely. And I think this is probably my favorite part to talk about, because I think that so many people are just unaware that there is some science that's happening in your body and in particular your brain, right? And I think that once you understand this part, there's some real validation, right? And that validation in and of itself starts to like lower the stress. Once you understand and you have knowledge around why you're feeling the way that you're feeling, right? That that starts to actually provide some of the solution here, the sort of path forward, right? And so it's this really validating thing. And, you know, it's what working mothers, right, in particular are experiencing. It's not just this like, oh, that's just motherhood or it's poor time management, right? Again, it's real neuroscience behind it all. And it's actually a very measurable neurological overload that's happening in your brain. So think of your brain like a computer browser with, let's say, 50 tabs open, right? Mm-hmm. What happens to a computer when you've got 50 tabs open or too many programs running, right? Like, it slows down. It's the computer itself can't do it. It slows down. Sometimes it even shuts down, right? Sometimes it just freezes and shuts down. That's the same thing that's happening in mom's brain, right? So your brain can realistically only handle, what, 2 to 3 kind of active tasks at a time, right?
That's it.
But for working moms that are operating with, you know, let's call it, again, the 50 tabs open simultaneously that are constantly running. What's for dinner? Did I sign the permission slip? You know, we need to schedule the dentist. So-and-so's birthday is coming. I got to plan something. I have to go work out. Oh, I have to go to the grocery store. But wait, what food am I going to buy?
As men, we don't think that. That's why, all right?
Yes, there are so many things that are running through mom's brain. And it's not just, you know, okay, I'm going to sit and think about these things. But like, our brains are constantly going. I wake up at 1 a.m. I wake up at 3 a.m. because I'm panicked that I'm going to forget something for someone, right? And so it's, you know, this whole idea of, you know, like, it's just this constant, these tabs that are always running, right? And so you're really carrying the weight of being responsible for, like, other humans' well-being, right? Again, this is not about just managing like your own to-do list. I can power through my own to-do list, right? But when it's other people that you're responsible, again, your own children that you brought into this world, right? The stakes feel and they neurologically are higher, right? And so that in and of itself weighs so much on the body, the brain, the physical, right? You're sort of like prefrontal cortex. And again, I'm going to get like really sort of neuroscience on you, right? But your prefrontal cortex, that is essentially the CEO of your brain, right? It handles the decision-making, the planning, the problem-solving, the 300 plus decisions every week that, you know, are sort of like running a marathon in your head every single day. And that leads to cortisol, which is the stress hormone, right? That floods your system when you're overwhelmed, and it leads to this chronic stress, which means the chronic cortisol is sort of like this vicious cycle that it just keeps going and going. It gets worse and worse. And that's why, you know, oftentimes, even if you get 10 hours of sleep at night, you wake up and you feel like you're exhausted, okay? It's because this constant like stress that is circulating through your body. This idea of like decision fatigue, that's also very real. Mm-hmm. It's not like laziness, like, oh, I can't make a decision because I don't want to think about it. It's you are making worse and worse decisions as the day goes on, right? So by dinner time or by 3 p.m., your brain is, again, it's been running a marathon thinking about all the things that need to get done for your family to take care of them. And by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, when the kids get home and it's, what's for dinner, mom? You're like, I don't know. Like, your brain literally can't think because it's already running on fumes, right? And so it's this idea of like, you're not failing. Moms are not failing. They're just drowning because, in my opinion, no human brain was designed for this level of workload, the work and then the family.
Right. Let me ask you this, because you talked about the neuroscience. We talked about the head of this thing. But now let's go to the background or the history of the heart of this thing. So I had a client at one time, and as a psychologist, I'm talking about one of the things we discussed was there's a book called The Invisible Weight We Carry. And it talks about the emotional burdens and generational baggage. It's by Larissa Creswell, I believe. But the reality of it is her thing wasn't so many tabs open. It was, she was constantly comparing herself. Like the woman said in the clip, we're looking at the internet and seeing better moms do better things. Yep. She was comparing herself as a mother to her mother. So the generations of her grandmother and her mother and her aunts who used to be in the kitchen cooking and all this other stuff, we no longer live in that time. Have you ever found yourself in a situation saying, I'm not doing as well as my mom did or my grandma did, not realizing they didn't get a master's. They weren't CMO. I don't think they were. I don't think they were CMOing and doing all this great cooking and cleaning. But sometimes women take on these invisible weights or these burdens because they're comparing themselves to people who aren't even in the same race. Has that ever happened with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, okay, you know, it's especially with social media, right? You scrolling through social, you're out there looking for dinner recipes and you come across the most gorgeous looking girl. Like everybody seems like they have it together. Right. You talk to your mom friends, everybody is suffering. I don't care what they tell you. Everybody is suffering, right? And I think that the world that we live in today, I think that it's a systemic problem, right? Like how we got to where we're at. And I think social media and sort of like trying to look your best and be your best and sort of like show up again at work and at home, everybody's just trying to like fake it till they make it, right? In a sense. And I think that that is part of the challenge. And I think what I have really thought critically about in terms of where I'm looking to take AI moms, right, mm-hmm, is not just building a solution, right, but building and creating a community, right? A community where you can show up and you can share so that you can know that you're not alone, right? All the other moms, we're all kind of like trying to figure this out, trying different systems, like trying to like test the next thing, right? And I think we're all in this together. And the more that you can sort of be in a community where you know that you're not alone, you can sort of like, there's also something from a neuroscience perspective called co-neuroregulation. Mm-hmm. And once you're in a room and you're venting and you can, you know, share with other moms and you know that they're experiencing the same thing, there's something in and of itself, right? By just feeling sort of validated, the stress level goes down, the sort of cortisol level goes down, right? There's these feelings of validation, like you're not alone. I'm not struggling alone and everybody else around me does not have it figured out, right? And you're in this together. And there's this level of sort of empathy and sort of sharing that really helps to create this sort of community where you can learn and sort of grow and find solutions together.
Why does the technology take over or how can the technology take over or take the place,
right,
the place of the PTA or the book club or bridge club or whatever women used to do to congregate and talk about their days? How is this more efficient or how is it going to help in that regard?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm super excited about this moment in time because I do think that for the first time in history, we finally have a technology solution, right, that can actually start to help to redistribute some of this invisible work, right? So AI can hold that mental load. AI can be the chief everything officer, right? And from my perspective, this isn't necessarily a productivity hack, right? This isn't about like doing more and just getting through it faster, right? This is about helping mom to close some of those 50 tabs, right? It's, you know, helping to have a sort of on-demand thinking partner and kind of planning partner, right? Like my husband, right? He participates a lot in this. He is my sort of thinking partner, right? But he's not always available. And he's not always available when I need him to be available to kind of talk through decisions or to help plan or to help kind of research. And that's where AI can step in to help carry some of that burden of some of those, you know, invisible tasks. Whether it's this complicated situation that you're thinking through and you need to kind of work through, whether it's like, I need to figure out the meal plan, right? AI can help with that. So it's really tapping into the technology resources that AI provides to just provide a partner for mom, right? And it's holding, it's tracking, it's deciding about the tasks and sort of doing the research and doing all the planning and having that, again, that sort of thinking partner to just get through it all, right? And yes, it's about getting through it at a faster pace, right? But it's also about helping to sort of like just unlock some of that burden.
So here's the thing. And I'd love for you to walk through some examples in terms of, you know, how mothers are using, you know, AI in daily life. But here's the thing. You know, on one hand, there's not a publication or news program that when it talks about AI is here to replace your job. It's in a negative light, okay? And we know that corporations are investing billions of dollars because they see it as, and maybe they see it as a strategic partner, but the majority of it, they see it as creating efficiencies, okay? Where they can eliminate in some areas, not all areas, but in some areas, they can eliminate humans, right? Which will make their company more profitable, blah, 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 blah. Now you're rolling something out called AI Moms that is, and I want to dive into specifically what it does and how does it become that strategic partner and stuff of that nature. But at the same time, I can imagine people hearing it. They're like, I just lost my job from AI. Now you talking about AI moms and now they're trying to replace me at being a mother. Okay. So talk a little bit about how the mothers are utilizing it and how it's becoming that game changer that they didn't have before.
Yeah. Let's see, where do I begin? so many things. You know, one of the things, as simple as it may sound, that I was really struggling with is something as simple as like meal planning, right? I hate cooking. I don't cook. I'm not great at it. I don't like thinking about food. I don't like grocery shopping. I don't like anything that is related to food. And so for me, doing the exercise of meal planning in and of itself was always something that I put off because I was like stressed about it. And I know that so many other mothers feel the exact same way about it. And so something, again, like kind of like a very small micro thing, right, that AI has helped me personally with is meal planning. I have an automated system set up now where my AI custom GPT, we call her Amy, she automatically, every Wednesday at 9 a.m., she automatically does the meal planning for me. She sends an email to my husband to let him know what the meal plan is for the next week. I'm thinking about it. Actually, I'm not even thinking about it because Amy remembers to do the meal planning. She automatically does it. She sends me the meal plan and I approve it. If I like it, she sends an email out to my husband to let him know. I can ask her to send a meeting invite so that it even shows up on his calendar, right? If he like really wants to get kind of day by day, very, very specific. But most importantly, Amy, she doesn't just create like a generic meal plan for me. She knows my family's preferences. She knows that my son is a really picky eater. She knows that he has sensitivity to food smells. She knows that my daughter is a much more adventurous eater. She knows that, you know, we like to eat a lot of soup because it's like, it's one of the things that my son actually is adventurous in trying and eating, right? So Amy knows all these things about me and my family. Amy knows that I like to shop at Trader Joe's on Fridays after I drop my daughter at school and on my way home because she knows that I like to shop during the week when nobody else is in the store. I've got 30 minutes usually before my first meeting starts at 9, right? She knows that the shelves are stocked. She knows the path within Trader Joe's. So when she creates a meal plan for me, she also sends the grocery shopping list and she sorts it by Trader Joe's, by DeChico, by Stop and Shop, and then not just in those orders, right? But she also includes in the shopping list the order in which I should shop for them in the store so that I can be the most efficient when I walk in that door so I can get in and out, right? So this is the level of detail that my chief everything officer that I have built knows about me and my family. And I have all of these sort of like micro things that were living in my life that were stressing me out that I was always waiting until the very last minute to do. She has it all dialed in. She automates it and it's something that I don't have to think about anymore. So that's like one very small example of what some of the AI moms are building as part of the AI Moms Bootcamp. And again, I think, you know, knowledge is real power, right? I think a lot of people are still discovering AI. A lot of people are scared of AI. Like you said, Tony, a lot of people are some losing their jobs or thinking that they will lose their jobs. I think one of the other important pieces for me is just the whole education piece of AI, right? It was really important that through AI Moms, we were not just building and providing an app or a sort of done-for-you solution, but teaching the AI skills, because it's not just applicable in family life to streamline and to eliminate that invisible load, but you can use that in your career, right? I do strongly believe that AI is not replacing all jobs, mm-hmm. right? But I do very strongly believe that the people that don't have AI skill set will be replaced.
There's no question. There's no question. There's no question. There's no question. Chris, real quick, while you were, she was saying that, I saw you giggling. I was giggling. Why were you giggling?
I was giggling because I was thinking about my wife. And the one thing my wife wants above everything else is credit. And if Mary Poppins, a.k.a. Amy, comes in here and starts making these decisions, unless, like what you've talked about, is you give these women the ability to program it. So therefore, the Amy is doing their bidding. But if it's a situation where I was to start giving credit to Amy, it would be fire in the house. It would be fire. They're like, oh, Amy created a great meal for us this, or Amy did. You're like, whoa, that wasn't Amy. That was me. That was me telling Amy. So that's what I was laughing at or thinking about, because it's the control factor or the, and I'm not saying all women just want credit for everything. What I'm saying is this, some women have a situation where the household being the leader, being the CEO of the home, has a great value to them. They want to have their hands in things and know what's going on with the kids. I have an older daughter. I could care less. She's grown. I could care less what she's doing. My wife needs to know every 2 days what she's done, and she's out the house. So I think about the psychology of the mom, and I know I have a mom too. You know, we've all have moms, and I think it would be difficult for moms to let go, even though it's a burden. There's a duality of, yes, it's a burden, but that's what being a mom is all about, as opposed to, I can't wait to get this shit off me.
But here's the thing, though, bro. So let's back up, and I want to hear Raquel's point on this, because you make a great point. However, a good CEO of the house is a person that delegates, right? Mm-hmm. And to get stuff done. So if I got, and the reason I was laughing, just side note, because I use AI, that's my partner, and her name is Susan. So when you said Amy, okay, I was like, oh, because my girl is Susan, right? But back to your point, though, Chris, I definitely hear that point. But however, if you can delegate, it's still you who did it. You just delegated it.
That's what she's teaching. That's right. What she's teaching.
So talk
that's
about
a
that,
mental
Raquel.
Thing that you right. have to
that's
teach.
A, that's
to Raquel.
A connection,
yes.
right? But yes, that's really yes. the key. So talk about that, because I would imagine you probably would have some people who think that way as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say as a mom, we are expected to be like super mom all
yes.
the time.
Yes.
But we've reached this point in time where something's got to give and we can't do it all. And we're all on this endless search of like, how can I do this? How can I continue to be super mom and do it all at home and at work? And again, for once in history, this AI and technology is our secret sort of superpower, right? That is how we are able to continue to be super mom. And you know, I'm super proud that I taught myself how to do this. I signed up for some AI boot camps and I really explored and discovered. And that's the really great thing about AI. Once you, I think, are equipped with this like foundational level
correct.
Of knowledge,
correct, correct.
You learn and you explore and you uncover so many other ways that it can help you and your unique challenges, correct. Pain points, whatever those may be. And that's what led me to AI moms and to this conversation today, right? I think at home, I'm really proud of myself because I figured this out. I built it, like I'm using it. And now I'm more joyful at home. I smile more. Like my kids are like, ooh, Amy, like what did you build with her today? And In a sense, honestly, in a sense, you know, I think part of why I kind of went down this path is because I think AI is the future. I think everybody needs to know it, learn it. I want my kids to know it, learn it, right? I don't think the schools are equipped to
not yet.
Teach it fast enough. So I feel the strong obligation to bring it to my family, right? And to teach my kids in a safe and relevant and appropriate way. And I think that this has been a really interesting exercise. So my son, he's 8. He has watched me build all of this. He's so curious about it. At some point he was like, hey, can I build like a homework tracker? And I was like, sure, what do you have in mind? I gave him my computer. I set him up with Claude and I said, you just push that button and you talk to it and use your imagination, right? And I think that that's the part that we all have to keep in mind, right? AI is not here to step in and be me, right? I'm still the one with the ideas. I'm the one that has to articulate clearly the pain points and try to figure out the solutions with Amy, right? So it's about, you know, in equipping yourself with the skill set. For me personally, it's been about bringing it to my family. My 8-year-old is now involved building himself interactive homework trackers using Claude. Like, I feel confident that he will not be left behind when it comes to AI and this sort of like new world that we are entering. So, you know, to sort of come full circle here, I feel like I am super mom. I'm just like the AI charged super mom. And this is, I am sort of like entering this new era of the tools that moms have to use to continue to show up in all of the right ways and support their family.
So let me ask you this as a final thought. What would you like to leave our listeners, moms, or even organizational leaders like you were once yourself or at a larger level, what would you like to leave them with as a nugget to take away as it relates to where we're going in the history of the world and where we are now as it relates to AI and these opportunities to help them?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. First, I think it's important for working mothers, like, stop apologizing for, you know, wanting both the career and the life. I have lived through that, right? For having like the ambition to have it all, for, you know, sometimes feeling like it's too much, like not enough, right? The invisible load, I think, just thrives in isolation and it whispers and, you know, you look around, it seems like everybody has it together, right? But they don't, right? I think that the system is broken. It's not you, mom, right? You have permission to like want more, to want the career and to want the life and to just take time for yourself, you know, without any guilt, and to be, you know, sort of supported instead of always being the support, right? And there is a path forward to, again, retire from the sort of idea that, you know, I've always lived, this idea of like chief everything officer, right? Mm-hmm. For once in time, we have the technology to step in and to help handle this cognitive load, right? That I think all moms are sort of experiencing. You know, I think the exhaustion level, right? It's not a sort of like inherent character flaw. It's just a rational response to, again, this impossible situation that has built over generations that now I'm excited. It feels like we finally have a moment in time where technology can really step in and sort of help us. So that's what I would say for moms. I would also, really like to just stress for leaders and organizations in particular, I think if they're serious about supporting working mothers in their organization, I think it's so important to understand that flexibility and parental leave, quite honestly, are just not enough, right? Like, this invisible mental load doesn't disappear when mom is able to just work from home. In fact, I think that it sometimes intensifies because the boundaries, right, start to like blur even more. But, you know, I would just really, really encourage organizations to invest in AI literacy specifically designed for working parents. You know, I think creating space for these conversations and acknowledging that this idea of mental load is real work that deserves real solutions, right? And, you know, when you invest in helping working mothers, right, delegate this cognitive burden at home that they're faced with, you ultimately will get better, more focused, less burned out moms at work, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's a skill set that everybody needs to have, you know, anything for anyone carrying this mental load, whether you're a mom or a father, right? Like this really applies to anyone that is sort of carrying this invisible load that's happening at home. I am not naive to the fact that it's not just working moms, right? There are so many other arrangements, whether you're a single dad or, you know, like there's just so many people that are faced with this. So, you know, you're a working mother, a father, a single parent, a primary household manager, whatever it may be. If you're the one, you know, holding everything up in your head, like you deserve this relief. And again, technology, I think we're finally there where it can finally step in to help.
Well, we definitely appreciate it. So I definitely want to state here as we end the session that Raquel Cadorsi is launching the AI Moms Bootcamp on February the 24th, right? A couple weeks from now, right?
Yes.
February 24th, 2026. It's a three-day intensive where working mothers build their own AI family management system. As she stated, it's not just working mothers. It could be working papas too. So don't be shy to sign up for that. And then soon after, a self-paced on-demand option will be launching early next month. So we want you to make sure you tune in and learn more about this. You can learn more at AIMoms.ai or connect directly with Raquel at AIMoms.ai. That is R-A-Q-U-E-L at AIMoms.ai. Thank you so much. Is there any other way that a Black Executive Perspective podcast can help you, Raquel?
No, just, you know, I think helping to spread this conversation. I'm so thrilled that you know, have invited me to talk about this topic that's really passionate for me. I, you know, just spreading the word and having these conversations, right? Like we don't talk enough about the invisible load and what it is doing to working mothers and whole generations of people. I'm one of those working moms and I am fighting for all of them. And I'm on this mission. Like I'm obsessed with teaching AI to moms because it's life-changing. So the more that we can talk about it and the more that we can spread the word, that's really my mission in all of this. So thank you both so much for having me today.
Well, thank you. And we'll have you come back soon, because we want to hear more about AI Moms. And we just touched the surface on all the great things that you're doing. So we salute you. We're going to create a partnership with AI Moms, because you're right. We need to push this out, because obviously there's a lot of people across the country and also around the world that's having these issues. So we want to thank Raquel Cadorsi for being on a Black Executive Perspective podcast. So now I think it's time for
Tony's Tidbit.
And the tidbit today, burnout isn't a failure of ambition. It's the cost of carrying a system that was never designed to support you. You don't need more discipline. You need less weight. Healing begins when the load is shared, the system changes, and your brain can finally rest. And you heard a lot of that from our guest, Raquel Cadorsi.
Absolutely. We want to, at this time, remind you to tune in to the segment we call Need to Know with Nasinga. Don't miss this week's Need to Know, where Dr. Nasinga Burton dives into timely and crucial topics that shape our community and our world. A Black Executive Perspective podcast presents Need to Know with Nasinga. It is informative, it is passionate, it's courageous, and you don't want to miss it this week.
Absolutely. And don't forget to check out the next roundtable of Pull Up, Speak Up, where bold, unfiltered voices tackle the most provocative issues, sharp perspectives, real talk, and the call to action. Tune in to join the revolution. Pull Up, Speak Up here on a Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Now, we got something that's hot. It's new, it's hot, it's exciting, it's innovative. Every Wednesday, you don't want to miss A Mixed Executive Perspective by a Black Executive Perspective podcast. It's hosted by Grace Fudencory, and she is a biracial woman who's an executive, who's exciting, who's got so many stories, it's ridiculous. And she weaves all of her experiences and her emotions and her enthusiasm into these stories to help us understand both sides of the line, right? And it's honest, it's thoughtful, and it's necessary. You don't want to miss it. Each week on Wednesday, tune into A Mixed Executive Perspective.
Absolutely. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, let's, you know, we always want to make sure we don't get out of here without talking about our call to action. Our goal here is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, we ask everyone to embrace less, L-E-S-S. And so the L stands for learn. You want to learn and educate yourself on racial, cultural, and technological nuances to make sure that you're at the forefront of what this world has for you.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned about people that you're not familiar with, now you can be more empathetic because you can put yourself in their shoes.
And then the first S, it stands for share. You want to share your insights and enlighten others. You want to spread the gospel and help other moms or help other people get here to where we need to be.
And then the final S stands for stop. We want everyone to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. And this is so easy. It's easy as at the Sunday dinner table, if Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe says something that's inappropriate, instead of just sitting there with your mouth open or you start giggling, you say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. And you stop it right there. So if everyone can incorporate less, L-E-S-S, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And guess what? We all will see the change that we want to see because less will become more.
We want you to tune into our next episodes, check out our lives. We want to make sure you check out all the things in the catalog that we have, so much important things going on. Go to the website, sign up for the newsletter, A Monthly Perspective. Check that out. That's hot every month, starting the year off right. Go ahead and give us a review. Tell us what you want to hear about, people that we should be talking to. And then subscribe wherever you listen to us. And where can they find us, Tony?
My friend, you can find the Black Executive Perspective podcast on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on our social channels of LinkedIn, X, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at A Black Exec. For our fabulous guest, Raquel Cadorsi, president, founder, CEO of AI Moms. For the co-host with the most, my boy down in Dallas, Chris P. Reed. I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it. We definitely gonna program ourselves about it. We love you. Guess what? And now we're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.